Psalm 107. Psalm 107. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. For He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. There were those who dwelled in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. For He has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His works with joyful singing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He spoke and raised up a stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet. He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him at the seat of the elders. He changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water, and a dry land into springs of water. And there He makes the hungry to dwell, so that they may establish an inhabited city, and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. Also He blesses them and they multiply greatly, and He does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, He pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in a pathless waste. But He sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction, and He makes His families like a flock. The upright see it and are glad, but all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Heavenly Father, today, how we thank You for Your many loving kindnesses, Your abundant chesed. We thank You for redemption, for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, for eternal life. We thank You, Lord, for every benefit that comes with our salvation. And Lord, today, may Your Spirit urge us toward gratitude, toward thanksgiving, that Lord, we might acknowledge Your goodness and that You might be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, in a sermon on Psalm 107, said this: a sensible thanksgiving for mercies received is a mighty prayer in the Spirit of God. Listen to that again. A sensible thanksgiving for mercies received is a mighty prayer in the Spirit of God. It prevails with Him unspeakably. If the only prayer you said in your whole life was "thank you," that would suffice. A lot to think about in that statement. Psalm 107 contains two motivational sections. The first one is from verse 1 all the way through verse 32. And the second one then is from verse 33 to the end of the chapter. These two motivational sections are urging the redeemed to thank God for His loving kindness. The first of these motivational sections deals with the patience of God. Patience of God in the face of even our sin and rebellion. The patience of God. Now, in verses 1 through 3 of the psalm, we see the call to praise Him with thanksgiving. Verse 1 has a command: give thanks to Yahweh. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks. We are to give thanks, another command in verse 2, by speaking. This isn't a psalm about having a thankful heart, though certainly that would be included. This is a psalm about having a thankful mouth, about saying so, speaking, giving thanks. The command is to give thanks by speaking. And the causes for giving thanks by speaking, mentioned in these first three verses. We give thanks by speaking, for He is good. The Lord is good. Now, when we read through Psalm 107, you saw some perilous things. You saw lostness, wandering, hunger, thirst, imprisonment, sickness, the shadow of death, storms. You saw all those kinds of things. But here at the beginning of this psalm, understand this: the Lord is good. Well, if the Lord is good, why are there storms? No, there are storms because the Lord is good. If the Lord is good, why are there evils and problems and all of that? Well, we're going to be looking at some of that here this morning. But none of that ever calls into question. In fact, by the end of the psalm, we will see anybody who questions the goodness of the Lord will be shut up. We are to give thanks to the Lord by speaking because He is good, verse 1. We are to give thanks for His loving kindness. Chesed is the Hebrew word. His loving kindness is everlasting. chesed, God's loyal, faithful, covenant love toward His people. His grace. It is everlasting. There's no limit to it. There's no time limit on it. There's no exhausting it. The covenant love of God. It's everlasting. So we should give thanks. We give thanks by speaking because the Lord has redeemed us from the hand of the adversary. Verse 2. Redeemed. Therefore, we are to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we are to give thanks by speaking because the Lord has gathered Israel numerous times. And this psalm does not specify which of these times is in mind. But the Lord has gathered Israel from the lands. Verse 3. East, west, north, south, back to the land. Like after the Babylonian exile, the Lord gathered them back to the land. Give thanks by speaking, because the Lord is good, because His loving kindness is everlasting, because He has redeemed, because He has gathered Israel from the lands. One Sunday morning in a church, not this one, the pastor was preaching on Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. A wealthy, well-dressed business executive visited the church for the first time that Sunday morning, came in and sat down, didn't realize that he was sitting nearby to a mentally retarded boy. The pastor preached the message. The retarded boy got this much out of the message. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That boy got that. When the service was over, the boy turned to the wealthy business executive and he said, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. Will you believe in Jesus as your Savior? And the businessman said, no. And the boy said, then you will go to hell. And the businessman just kind of turned and walked out and left. Other people around saw what had happened, so they went and told the pastor what had happened. You know, they probably should have run after the man, but they didn't. They went and told the pastor what had happened. So the next day, the pastor made a call and a visit to this wealthy businessman to apologize for what this boy had said to him. The wealthy business executive said to the pastor, "Don't apologize for the boy." He said, "Yes, I was very disturbed when I left because I don't want to go to hell." He said, "I was very disturbed. And last night, I believed in Jesus as my Savior because of what that boy said." See, when the redeemed of the Lord say so, the Lord can use that, even if other people think it's inappropriate or untactful or whatever. The Lord used that boy. And if the Lord used that boy, the Lord can use you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So here's the call to praise God with thanksgiving. Now, from verse 4 through verse 32, the rest of this first section, there are four cycles of peril, prayer, provision, and praise. These are actually four vignettes, little accounts of salvation. It's physical salvation, physical deliverance with spiritual significance attached to it. So let's look at these cycles. Cycle number one is verses 4 through 9. The Lord responds to travelers in distress, travelers who are lost in a wilderness. Because of this section, sometimes Psalm 107 has been called the Pilgrim's Psalm or the Traveler's Psalm. As these are traveling, you notice the peril in verses 4 and 5. They wandered in the wilderness, did not find a way to the city. So they're wandering, they're in a desert, they're lost. Verse 5, they're hungry, they're thirsty, their soul fainted, they're weak. They're in peril. We will sing at the end this morning, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will bring me home." Grace. But they were in peril. Then verse 6, they pray. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. They prayed. And of course, you realize it would have been much better if they would have been praying ahead of time. Maybe they wouldn't have gotten lost or been wandering. But isn't that your way as well. You wait until there's a circumstance, there's a difficulty, there's a peril, and then you pray. Well, they prayed. And the Lord answered, and verse 7, the Lord brought provision. He led them by a straight way. Let that word straight sink in. I'll come back to it in a while. To go to an inhabited city, the Lord made their path straight and showed them the way to go. And then praise, verses 8 and 9. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Give thanks for his chesed, his loyal, faithful covenant love, and for his wonders to the sons of men, for he satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He has filled with what is good. The Lord has provided. They give him praise. And that praise is a praise of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Cycle number 2. Verses 10 through 16. The Lord releases prisoners from a dungeon. They're locked in a prison. You see the peril in verses 10 through 12. They're in darkness, shadow of death. They're prisoners. They're in misery, chains. The cause in verse 11 was because they had rebelled against the words of God. Rebelling against God and his word. They spurned the counsel of the Most High. Not interested in what God has to say. Therefore, they're in prison, in chains. He humbled their heart, verse 12, with labor. They stumbled. There was none to help. Nobody could help them in this circumstance. Verse 13, then they prayed. Their prayer, they cried to the Lord. In their trouble, he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 14, their provision. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. He provided for them a release from this dungeon, from this prison. Therefore, there is praise, verse 15 and 16. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Chesed, give thanks because of God's loyal covenant love to you, for his wonders to the sons of men, for he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. In that same message that I referred to at the beginning by John Bunyan, John Bunyan saw in the end of verse 14, they broke broke their bands apart. And in verse 16, he has shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. John Bunyan saw there Christ breaking the chains of sin. And while it does not clearly say that, certainly ultimately in the spiritual application of this, Bunyan is correct. Breaking the chains of sin. Someone locked in a prison of sin, in the chains of sin, released and set free by the person and work of Jesus Christ. In another church, a different one than I referred to earlier as well, a homosexual man came into a Sunday evening church service. He was dying, unbeknownst to anyone else there. He was dying of HIV/AIDS. Came into the church service, and he heard that evening the message from Psalm 107. When he heard in verse 7 the word straight, he led them also by a straight way. To that homosexual man, the word straight had a different kind of connotation, didn't it? And so he heard that the Lord wanted him to have a straight way rather than a homosexual way. He was dying of AIDS. He heard in verse 10 the phrase shadow of death. Also in verse 14, the shadow of death. He heard in verse 10 that this person was a prisoner of misery and chains. And the man realized he couldn't get out of this. And there was no one to help him. He heard that the Lord breaks the bands, and the Lord shatters the gates and cuts the bars of iron. And he understood that only Jesus Christ could release him from the dungeon of his sin. And he heard all the rest of this, and by the end, he knew that he needed to be saved. After the service, he asked the pastor, and the pastor led him to Christ, and he was saved. The chains of sin broken. Cycle number 3. Verses 17 through 22. The Lord restores sick rebels from death. They are languishing in sickness. In verses 17 and 18, we see the peril. They are sick rebels. because of their rebellious ways. They're afflicted. They're not able to eat. They abhor food. They're drawing near to death. Then, verse 19, they prayed. The prayer. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. So verse 20, they're given provision. He sent His word and healed them. They were healed by the word of God. He sent His word, healed them, delivered them from their destructions. So, verses 21 and 22, praise. Give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness. This has been the faithful love, grace of God. Give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. They worshiped with thanksgiving to the Lord. And tell of His works with joyful singing. They communicated. They told what the Lord had done for them. When you receive a great answer to prayer, you receive a great benefit of God. Whatever that is, in this case it was physical healing. But whatever that is, give thanks to God and tell people. Say so. Oh yeah, I know the Lord has answered many prayers in my life. Oh, could you tell me some of them? Well, no. Well then, what is that? What is that? Cycle number 4, verses 23 through 32. The Lord rescues sailors in a crisis and takes them to their destination. They are life-threatened in a storm. Verses 23 through 27, we see their peril. Go down to the sea in ships, do business, seeing the works of the Lord. Verse 25, a stormy wind, the waves of the sea, the waves rise up and go down. The sailors staggered like a drunken man. They're at their wits' end. They realize this storm at sea is about to sink them. But they see from their ships on the sea, verse 23, the wonders of the Lord, the works of the Lord. Some of you may know the name Richard Hakluyt. Probably most of you don't. He lived from 1552 to 1616. He was an Englishman. He was a pastor and a writer. And he became the Secretary of State for England under Elizabeth the First and James the First. It was said of Richard Hakluyt, by the way, his last name is spelled Hakluyt, in case you want to Google him and learn more about him. But it was said of him, England is more indebted for its American possessions to Richard Hakluyt than any man of this age. Hakluyt stayed at home to become the best traveled man in England. Now, you might wonder about that, but he never traveled outside of England except to France. And apparently his family was originally Dutch, but they came to England. By the way, his father's name was also Richard Hakluyt. Richard Hakluyt's parents died when he was a young teenager, and so he was considered to be orphaned. He lived with an older cousin, and his older cousin was also named Richard Hakluyt. So you have to, you know, sort through the material to find out which one's speaking here. His older cousin introduced him to the Bible and to maps and to the records of ocean voyages. From the Bible, Richard Hakluyt read verses 23 and 24 here. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they've seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. This scripture determined the future course of Richard Hakluyt's life. He read about the sea, about the ships, about the wonders of the Lord in the deep. And he saw that. Therefore, he began to read every printed record on every voyage that he could possibly find, because he wanted to know about these wonders of God in the sea. He graduated from Oxford and after that lectured there at Oxford on world geography. He became such an expert. He was the one who convinced England to colonize North America, to create permanent colonies, rather than to let North America go to Spain or Portugal. If it was not for the presentations of Richard Hakluyt to Elizabeth the First, you may well be in a Spanish or Portuguese speaking country this morning. But Richard Hakluyt convinced England that they should colonize North America. He wrote many books on the subject, and his most famous book is entitled The Principal Navigations and Voyages of the English Nation. Hakluyt was one of the founders of the Virginia Company of London and played a leading role in the founding of Jamestown in 1707. And Hakluyt sent the first pastor to Jamestown. Hakluyt wanted to go on a voyage to New England and Canada, but didn't, and that was providential, since the ship that he would have gone on sank. So providentially, he was not on it. It's a fascinating story, but all of that came from his understanding of two verses in Psalm 107. So the Lord rescues sailors in crisis. They were in peril. Verse 28, they pray. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. He brought them out of their distresses. Verses 29 and 30, the Lord's provision. He caused the storm to be still. The waves were hushed. They were glad because they were quiet. And he guided them to their desired haven. The Lord got them where they were going safely. Therefore, they give praise, verses 31 and 32. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. So we see in these first 32 verses, the patience of the Lord. When people are lost, he rescues them. When people are locked in prison, the prison of sin, he releases them. When people are sick and languishing in their sickness, even when it's because of their sin, he comes and he restores them. When people are in life-threatening situations, like a storm at sea, he rescues them. The Lord saves. He heals. He forgives. He provides. And so patiently, even in spite of rebellion and sin. Now the rest of Psalm 107, the providence of God, verse 33 to 43. Having seen the patience of God, we now are reminded that God providentially guides everything. And we're going to see he guides weather, politics, disease, and his purpose is to preserve his people, to preserve His people, to carry out His purpose for Israel. His people. He providentially leads. Now, verse 33 through 42, we see conditions that prove the Lord's sovereign providence. In verse 33 and 34, we see negative natural conditions because of human wickedness. Changes rivers into a wilderness, springs of water into thirsty ground, fruitful land into salt waste. Why? Because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. Say, do you mean that the Lord will bring drought? Do you mean that the Lord will dry up rivers? That the Lord will influence the weather, storms, things like that? And do that in a negative way because of people's sins? And verse 33 and verse 34 says, yes. Yes. Now, I know, I realize people today do not accept the providence of God. They do not accept God's active involvement in things like weather. But here it is. Say, well, how will the meteorologist, how will the weatherman on the evening news factor this into his forecast? The answer is, he can't. He can't. There are things like this that cannot be predicted by human observation and science. It's the providence of God. Now, then verses 35 through 38, there are positive natural conditions for those who are blessed. He can change a wilderness into a pool of water, dry land into springs of water. He can make hungry people live there and have an inhabited city and sow fields, plant vineyards, gather a harvest, and he blesses them. They multiply greatly, and he doesn't let their cattle decrease. This is the Lord's blessing. Is the Lord's providence sovereign even over things like cows? Yes. Rivers, waters, weather. The Lord is involved in this. The Lord is sovereign, verses 39 and 40, in the realm of politics, in civil leadership. The Lord takes down oppressive tyrants. They're oppressing people, causing people to have misery and sorrow. So the Lord does what? He pours contempt on the princes, on these tyrants, and makes them wander in a pathless waste. Say, well, the Lord raises up kings. The Lord raises up presidents. Yeah. And do you know what? Say, well, shouldn't the Lord raise them up for our good? No, the Lord raises some of them up in order to take them down. And it's not even about you. It's about them. See, the Lord's theory of governmental leadership and politics isn't yours. It is not Democrat. It is not Republican. It is not independent or something else. It is Israelite. It's Israelite. That's God's theory. And those who are oppressive, the Lord will take them down. He will take them down. You know, thinking that your vote somehow changes the providence of God is the ultimate in idolatry. Do you realize that your voting can be idolatrous? Because it's the worship of the God of American civil religion, and it's not the worship of Yahweh, the God of the Bible. Be careful in these things. So these prove the sovereign providence of God. Verses 41 and 42, the Lord preserves His people. The needy, He sets them on high. He preserves them from affliction. The upright see it and are glad, those who are righteous in Christ. And the end of verse 42, all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Say, but if God is so good, why did this happen? You know what? Shut up. That statement, that kind of question is from Satan. That is not a question that's an honest question about God. God is good. None of this questions or contradicts God's goodness. He is good, and He will preserve His people through all of this. So, verse 43, the call to ponder the Lord's sovereign providence. Verse 43, who is wise? Let him give heed to these things. Well, give heed to what things? Well, all the things we've just talked about in this whole chapter. Give heed to these things. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord's providence deals with things like weather and storms and sickness and disease and all of this. Give heed to these things. Think about them. And consider the loving kindnesses. Now notice this time the word chesed is plural. Loving kindnesses. God's love and love and love and love and love and love and love, even displayed in all of the things that you might want to question. Consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. And throughout this entire psalm, give him thanks because of these. Yes, believers today in Christ do have chesed, the loving kindness of the Lord. In chesed, the Lord sovereignly and providentially orders everything for the benefit and ultimately the eternal benefit of those who are his. Give him thanks. A sensible thanksgiving for mercies received is a mighty prayer in the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for every providential benefit. And Lord, yes, there are times that we do not always see these things as benefits. Sometimes we see them as difficulties. But Lord, in the midst of all of this, the prayer for deliverance brings your response for your people. And so, Father, it is true that through many dangers, toils, and snares, we've already come. But it's also true that grace has brought us and grace will lead us all the way to the desired haven. And so, Lord, to you, we give our praise. We honor you for your providential dealings, for your great loving kindness. And we say, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.